Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
By the time they started singing those words, this verse came to my mind. David said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Psalm 61 is a psalm of David. This is the men smarter than I tell me that David wrote Psalm 61 on his way back to Jerusalem after Absalom's rebellion. When I read those words, when my heart is overwhelmed, I'll be honest with you, my mind does not run to a saint like David. You would think somebody writing words like "when my heart is overwhelmed," surely that's a Sunday school child. Surely that's somebody like the young man that got saved last night that just got started in this thing that we call the Christian life. Surely it's new converts or a new husband and a new wife that's just getting started in life. Maybe a teenager that's no longer at home with mom and dad, but are in a college where professors abuse and criticize and belittle what they have been taught from their preacher and their parents. Surely that's who's writing Psalm 61. Nah, that's not who's writing Psalm 61. I tell you who's writing Psalm 61, the only man in the Word of God that bears the description that he was a man after God's own heart. You get to talking like that, friend, you've got my attention in the Word of God. When a man has walked with God to the place where he's the only one that bears, I mean, I'm talking about, you think about John, you think about Paul, you think about the disciples that broke bread with him, you think about Elijah that called down fire out of heaven, you think about Elisha that performed twice as many miracles as his forerunner did, but it didn't say they were men after God's own heart. Here's the kicker to me, Brother Barker. Didn't say Goliath overwhelmed him. It didn't even say that Saul overwhelmed him. It didn't say, Brother Jeremy, that the Philistines overwhelmed him or any of the enemies of God. So when I get to thinking about a man who is overwhelmed in his heart and overwhelmed in his spirit, and when you think about a man like David, the stature of David, I'm interested in what overwhelmed him. It was his children. It was his child. By now, his baby was dead. By now, Tamar had been abused and raped. By now, Amnon was dead. And if he's on his way back to Jerusalem, that means Absalom's dead. Can I tell you, there may be things that I've learned. There may be places in the Christian life where we feel like we can flex our muscles and feel like, boy, we've arrived. But I promise you, there's a burden. There's a storm. There is a load right around the corner. But you won't be flexing your muscles. But you'll be bowing your head thinking, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I thought that I had arrived. I'm sorry that I thought I was bigger than I really was. This ain't a Sunday school boy. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is a sweet psalmist of Israel. And I think about him, how he got overwhelmed. I've talked to a lot of overwhelmed people in the last about 16, 17 months. I've talked to a lot of overwhelmed teenagers that their Christian life has been different. Church has been different. Even when we come for months, many times it was in the parking lot or it was a reduced crowd because everybody couldn't come, and it just wasn't what it was. And young'uns have gained strength from that atmosphere of a service. And all of a sudden that atmosphere is not the same. I've saw it happen in church families where you can't go hug necks anymore. And I'm just going to tell you, in churches like ours, that fellowship is important. We're not in some big mass super church where you don't care if they know your name, but you're somewhere where you feel like you're part of a family. And it means something when somebody walks up with tears around and say, I love you, and put their arms on you, and they love you. We've not been able to get at altars and pray over one another, and it's been overwhelming. What the devil will do, he'll ride up and say, well, you're not much of a Christian. If you feel that way, you're not much of a Christian. And I wonder if that's what he told David. But I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't much listen to what the devil had to say when the Lord's talking like this is a man after God's own heart. What I'm interested, when I looked at that, I thought, man, I can learn from him. I want to know where he leaned, Brother Jeremy. He said, Lord, lead me to the rock. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry. I believe the first thing he said was, Lord, would you hear me? From the end of the earth, where David was, he was as far away from Jerusalem that he could be and still be in the nation of Israel. He was at the very border of the nation. He was as far as he could be in Israel and still be in Israel, but still be far away from the house of God. And can I tell you, I've talked to people that have sat in pews and atmospheres have been different, and the camaraderie has been different, and the things are going have been different, and it seems like I'm still in Israel, but I'm a long way from the house of God. I'm a long way from where I gained strength. And David was saying, Lord, would you hear me? Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee. It ought to surprise us when God does not answer our prayers. Lord, hear me. Hear me. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Unto thee. And then he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. He didn't say just, Lord, hear me. He said, Lord, would you help me? Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. It almost seems like in the text, Brother Jeremy, that David is signifying that he needs to go somewhere that he can't get by himself. There's somewhere that David needs to be, but he can't get there on his own. I wonder, am I talking to you tonight? Are you overwhelmed? And man, it seems like, yeah, I'm still in church. I'm still in the city limits of Israel. Well, David earlier let Absalom come back, but he wouldn't let him see his face. What good is it to be back in Jerusalem if you can't see the king's face? You may be in the building, or you may be in the city limits. You may be in the county, at the county line. How long has it been since you've seen his face? That's somewhere he's got to get us to. He said, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me. Lord, would you hear me? Lord, but I ain't thought about these thoughts in months. in months. And I would say in the last months, what your family's gone through, there's been a lot of, Lord, would you just hear me? Lord, would you just hear me? When your grown children look at you, you've always been the fixer. You've always been the one to take care of the problem. You've always been able to one to have the answer. But then they get to a place and they're in a season where there is no answer, and you don't have an answer, and you don't have a solution, and you don't have a formula for the problem. Thank God from the ends. Thank God from the ends of the earth. Thank God what prayer is. Prayer is weakness leaning on omnipotence. And thank God when I'm weak, he's strong. And he just doesn't hear me. But thank God he's got the power to help me. Amen. Lord, would you hear me? When doctors look at you like they did me in December, say they're not going to make it. 20 years before, 20 and a half years before, I was in the same hospital. I was one floor down and a half a wing over. The doctor walked out of a little broom closet of a room. It was the day before Father's Day of 2000, the year 2000. That little doctor walked out of that room, and she looked at me. She said, "Mr. Stroud, we're in a difficult place." She said, "Your wife's blood pressure is 220 over 110. She's 32 weeks pregnant." They said she could go into seizures at any moment, and we could lose her and lose your firstborn. So we're going to do this. They began to lay out a plan. Said, "Tomorrow morning, we're going to give her a shot now. Tomorrow morning, we're going to give her another shot. And we're going to try to induce labor. And we're going to have to see if we can induce labor, get your child here before your wife dies or before it dies." On Father's Day at 6 o'clock in the morning, they came and the doctor brought that Pitocin and they started to run that Pitocin. I'd stay in there all I could. Then I'd see him for Amy's mama, and I'd bring her in there. Because Brother Willard didn't have an answer. And Mom and Dad didn't have an answer. And I needed to talk to the one who did. So I'd leave, and I'd go find a corner in that hospital, and I'd pray, and I'd beg God. And when I'd come back in the door, Amy looked to the, she'd look to the, because I'm one of them that wears my feelings. You ain't got to worry about what I'm thinking. You can see it on my face. You can hear it in my voice. And Mr. Briggs, she looked across the room at my face and she just turned away. And I'd stay, she knew I hadn't heard from the Lord. And I'd stay for an hour and a half, and I'd sin. And I'd go back again and I'd pray again. And I'd come back in the door and she'd look again. But I hadn't heard from the Lord. And that went on all day. About 5:30, the doctor came by. And she said, "This is not working." And she said, "We're going to have to do an emergency C-section on your wife." And she said, "I need to prepare you before we go in the surgery in the room, the operating room." She said, "The medicine that we've given your wife is already in the bloodstream of your child." And said, "You need to be understanding that when we go in there and we take that baby out of her womb, that it may not cry because it's so sluggish because of the medicine." And they said, "Now don't be alarmed that when we take the child out of the womb that he's black in color. That means there's just not much oxygen in his blood." They're telling a 28-year-old first-time dad, "Don't worry about when you take your baby out of your womb if it's black and blue." I hadn't heard from God. Now they said this, they looked at me, me not having heard from the Lord, said, "Now we need to go tell her." And I ain't heard from the Lord. Ms. Rebecca, they took me, Sammy, away, and they took me in a operating little recovery room, and they got my scrubs on me. And I sat on a little stool. I've been looking for him all day, and I hadn't heard from him. But when he walked in that little room, it was as real. It was as real as if I heard the door shut behind him. Matter of fact, I looked up. His presence was surreal. I looked up to see who was. You know when you feel like somebody's in the room? I thought a doctor or a nurse had walked in. But boy, the Lord got to helping me. Oh, and everything I'd prayed about all day, he started talking to me about it. And then he said, son, he said, everything is going to be all right. It wasn't 30 seconds later, they came and got me, and I walked down the hall and around the square, a little square room, came back on the other side. Miss Amy was laying on that operating table. Her head was there. I sat down and put her head between my knees, and she looked up, and you know what she didn't say? She didn't say, Daddy, have you heard from the Lord? Daddy, have you heard from him? She looked at me and said, what did he say? She said, what did he say? I said, honey, the Lord said it was going to be all right. I said, God, he heard what I asked him. He heard from me. I've heard from him. When he cried from the end of the earth, we all expect to hear from him. Fast forwarded, I'm in 2020, December the 13th. I've been in the hospital for 2 days, my dad. My niece went home about 6 o'clock Sunday morning. I was there with my dad by myself. Miss Amy was coming. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Barker, and I would say in Jonathan's life, I'll just say to you boys, my heroes didn't wear baggy basketball shorts or Air Jordans and a rope chain. It looks like a dog chain. My hero wore dark green uniform pants. A light green uniform shirt had a white patch right here with his name written in red. That was my hero, my dad. And I was standing there, and I got to say some things to my dad. He couldn't talk back to me, but I hadn't heard from the Lord. Same hospital 20 years later. But about 8 o'clock that morning, I was sitting over there in a chair. And the same God that had came in a floor down, a half a wing over 20 years ago, walked in that same room with my dad. You say, what'd you do first? I picked up the telephone as God is my witness, and I called my sister, and I called Amy. I said, if y'all want to see him, you better come. They said, has the doctor said anything? I said, no, but the Lord just got here. I said, the Lord just came in, and I said, he's here to get him. I said, you better come. You know what I'm convinced of more? That when my heart gets overwhelmed, when my dad's about to go to heaven, when my wife was about to go to heaven, when my heart was overwhelmed, I could say, Lord, hear me. Lord, would you hear me? Lord, would you help me? I stood there and patted his stomach, rubbed his head, sung him into heaven. Amen. He didn't just hear him, and he didn't just help him, but he said, lead me to that rock. He said, Lord, would you hide me? Would you hide me? See, when you get on a rock, winds don't move rocks. Rains don't move rocks. Amen. Are you listening? He got him up. He got into that rock that was higher than he was and set him up on there. You know what we're so guilty of doing? Things go wrong, we go tell everybody else who has absolutely no authority nor any power to change your situation. But all you got to do is bow your head, and you have an audience with the King. I mean, you go to Genesis, you go in there to Genesis 13 and 14. Abraham, he's got in that chapter 13 and 14, he's got an audience with two sovereigns, King of Sodom and the King of Salem. But when you get in Genesis 15, the Lord said, I am thy exceeding and great reward. He had an audience with the sovereign in Genesis 15. Here's the kicker, and I want them to sing this again. You said you come all this way to say that. I really didn't come all this way to say anything. I came all this way to go to church. I don't have to say anything as long as the Lord says something. This is what he said. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Now, I'm not a very smart man, but I did pass several English classes through my high school years, my finance degree years, and then my master's degree years, and I had to take some English classes. That for thou hast been, that's past tense. That's past tense. He said, Lord, the reason I'm coming is because you've already showed me that you can take care of me. When you get to the place where you realize that your present struggle is already dependent upon his past performance, you ain't got to worry about something new because he's already showed you he can take care of it. How many years y'all been married? 26. Y'all right there, Miss Amy and I. 26 for us is in August. We've seen him answer some things, haven't we? And the thing is that you could look at Jeremiah and his precious wife, and then when y'all didn't have the answer, you could look at him and say, he's always taking care of us heretofore. And there's no need to doubt it now. What you overwhelmed with? We want to have revival. We're going to have to get out of that overwhelmed state. Because when we get overwhelmed, we pay attention more to what has overwhelmed us than we do who the one that should be overwhelming us. Has he not proved to you already that he can do it? I mean, man, some of us white-haired. I'm in the white-haired crowd now. I didn't used to be. I'd rather be in the white-haired than the no-haired crowd, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not the kid preacher anymore, but I'm not the general either. But I have been far enough down the road to know he's always taking care of us. What's got you overwhelmed tonight? I saw as they sung the other songs, I like to sit and watch faces. But when they got to singing this song, there was something different about the faces. It was resonating in the hearts of his people. What's got you overwhelmed? You know what, young person? It doesn't make you a bad Christian if you get overwhelmed. It just makes you a truthful one. It just makes you want to tell the truth. The kicker is this, when you do get overwhelmed, you got to know where to go. And that's a rock that is higher. I remember years ago, Brother Harry Nix was preaching. He said out on the West Coast, he said a grandfather was going to take his grandson out on their commercial fishing boat. And so they went out there and they got in a bad storm, and the storm was coming. It hadn't got in the storm yet, but they were going to have to do some fishing really quick. And he said, son, he said, we're going to be out here and things are going to be moving. He said, there's a big old rock over here. He said, we need to go right out here and fish. He said, but you don't need to be on the boat when all this is going around. You're going to get hurt. He said, I'm going to leave you on this boat. We're going to get the fish. We'll come right back and get you before the storm comes. Well, they got out there fishing. The storm got out there and the boat went dead and they couldn't get it cranked. That boy was stuck on that rock. The storms came and the rains poured down and beat down on the lightning and the black as night. Finally, that old boat finally made it back over the rock, and they shined a spotlight up on the side of that face of that rock, trying to find that boy where he was, and he wasn't where they left him. And finally, they shined it up higher on the rock, and they found him there. And they jumped out of the boat and climbed up on that rock and got that boy. And he said, the grandfather said, son, I'm sorry. We didn't mean to leave you that long. I'm sorry that you had to get in that storm. We couldn't get the boat crate and we couldn't get back to you. He said, no worries, Papa. He said, when the storm came and the waves got high, he said, you know what? He said, that rock never moved. And he said, when the storm got high, he said, and the waves got higher on the rock, he said, I just climbed a little bit higher up on the rock. He said, I just got up there where the waves couldn't get me. And can I tell you, thank God in Christ, there is a place where the waves won't get you. There's a place that for a season the winds may not blow against you. He said, lead me to a rock. That is, I'm glad, thank God in Christ, he's higher than I. He's stronger than I. He's more gracious than I. Thank God there is somewhere that you and I can run to as a child of God. Our problem is we're too worried about what everybody else thinks that we would admit that we've been overwhelmed. You know, preacher, I'm sure pastors our age have called you, and I tell you one thing, I never had a class in Bible college that ever taught me how to pastor in a pandemic. I went to the hospital and visited somebody in ICU for the first time in 15 months this week. Some of the best Christians you've known have been overwhelmed. So they're going to sing again. I wonder how many of us will come say, Lord, if David can get overwhelmed, I'm going to admit to you, I'm overwhelmed. You know what? Daddies get overwhelmed. Mamas get overwhelmed. Preachers get overwhelmed. Deacons get overwhelmed. And just cause something don't overwhelm you doesn't mean that that somebody else is weak, because there's something that's got your number too. They're going to sing. We're going to stand. Would you mind the Lord?